Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
Hey there, welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier. From Odyssey's Nerd Talk, I'm your host, Gregor. Hi there. Now, normally I'd be saying hello to everyone's favorite former employee who does this for free, but he's in Hawaii being sunburnt and shirtless. Still pasty white and with shirt, joining me today is fellow nerd and creative person, hello to Kanan.
Hey, Gregor. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in, man. Short notice like that. Need someone to fill in. That's very nice of you. Now, neither of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain yet, but if you are, let us know what we get wrong or perhaps what we get right for once. I'm sick of dogging on myself all the time. When we do something accurately, I want someone to be like, yeah, you got that right. I'm a professional in that field. You're right. Doesn't happen very often, I don't think, but yeah. If you could tell a friend, share it online, or just holler at us with your answer to this episode's question of the week. If you could pick two awesome food products and combine them to make something awful, what would you pick? Now, I ask because I'm certain I've come across a contender, and we'll get to that here later in the show. The biggest story in the nerd world, I think, from the last week was the first all-amateur civilian astronaut crew has returned from 3 days in orbit, SpaceX's Inspiration 4. Do you follow space at all, Kanan?
A little bit. And I got to admit that this story, it has me slightly depressed.
Okay.
Because, I don't follow it enough to know a whole lot, but sure. But I feel a little bit excited that people can go into space like regular people, like you and me, but mm-hmm. a little bit depressed because now space is going to be just like something everybody could do, and it's going to be mundane. I don't know. It feels like it's going to become mundane. Like, space used to be the thing that nobody could do.
Yeah. Being an astronaut was like out of this. Sorry, that's a terrible pun. I didn't mean it. Out of this world. Fail. But it was unimaginable. Only like the very most select few people could do it based on their aptitude and their commitment to it. Now it's, if you got $1 billion, why not go to space?
Right.
So and I guess it's equally difficult to get, but
yeah, but awesome because it's space.
You know, a lot of times I see like they'll be like, we found a star and it's 40 light years away and we have our habitable planet circling it. And I'm like, yeah, 40 light years though means that it'll take us 40 years to get there, check it out and evaluate. You know, let's do a couple years of science to see if it'll work and then get the message back over 40 years. Like, there's in my lifetime, we're not doing anything.
It's not going to happen.
Like, very real problems happening now. It's like depressing because you focus, oh, there's this opportunity. Like, yeah, but you'll never know if it worked out or not. So, yeah. I get bummed out about some space stuff. But also being able to study the Earth with these, like, missions and stuff like that and see the Earth would be pretty cool. So these astronauts, the Inspiration 4, launched in a Dragon crew capsule from Kennedy Launch Complex in Florida. They spent a few days hurtling around higher than the International Space Station, which is pretty cool, and then returning to Earth with a bunch of unshowered astronauts. I can only imagine kind of how gross you get by the end of a mission.
Because it's 3 days? 4 days?
Three days, and they have like a bathroom built in there. So I imagine that I don't know exactly how that, you know, tubes is probably what it is. And I bet you have wet wipes to keep yourself.
Wet wipes floating around the cabin.
Gross. I'm still in wet wipe world in my house right now. Right. So I can only imagine how gross some things I've seen floating by in zero G. Anyway, this one is unique because it's civilians. It's a rich guy. He put the money down to send everyone up. That's nothing new, I suppose. But he used it to raise a ton of money for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and brought along a former employee, the first person to have a prosthetic going into space, evidently. I didn't know that until they landed. I was like, oh, wow, we're talking about not being limited by a prosthetic the same way you would here when you don't have the same gravity constraints. I don't know if it was a leg or an arm.
I think it was her leg.
Yeah.
And they were studying how the blood travels through the body differently when you're weightless. You know, your head gets fatter and, you know, instead of your feet like the rest of us.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But, it's pretty cool that those people got to go. I don't know how did he pick those people out?
There was one from donations, like someone could actually buy their way on effectively, and that guy backed out, so they went and they gave it to another guy, who was a dude from just, you know, our neck of the woods up in Everett. He's an engineer in Everett, and he was like the standby person and got to go up. I'm not sure what the actual process was for choosing him, but then there was a doctor in Arizona that was able to get on board, and then they wanted someone that was a former St. Jude's patient to be able to show that give people hope for being able to recover, give kids specifically hope that you could go and recover. And the whole thing, they're trying to raise $200 million total for St. Jude, so that's pretty sweet. You can actually start bidding on auctionable items here soon and try and raise some money, which is neat. They took a bunch of stuff up with them that they're bringing back down to then sell.
Just so you can own something that was in space. I mean, for crying out loud, we're all in space, aren't we?
That's a great point. Like, we're just protected by that thin shell around us, but technically, we're on the biggest spacecraft we know of.
Right. Couldn't we auction Gregor's shoes off and raise $100 million?
I wish. Yeah. I don't get a cut. Don't be selfish. Come on. They did send up, Sam Adams sent up a bunch of hops. And so they're going to bring down space hops and make the mission beer for the Inspiration 4. I wonder if the astronauts get any of that. Additionally, God, that'd be awesome. Are we going to be able to bid on that to be able to get some? And it'll be way out of my means for sure if they're trying to raise $200 million. But
does it make that much of a difference? So the hops are going to have been in space. Will it make that much of a difference to the taste of the beer? I don't know. Or what is there something that you would want? What would you shell out for that has been in space?
Oh, man. Almost nothing. I'm not sentimental like that. I don't have that thing in me where I'm like,
yeah,
something gets, there's more value to. If someone gave me something like, hey, this screw went to space, I'd be like, well, that's pretty neat, I guess. But like, even as I'm a big racing fan, and you go and like, there's crashes and stuff, and like, there'll be little bits of debris, and people will pick that up after the race, and they'll be like, oh, look, that's part of the wing of. I'm like, yeah, I don't. That would look ugly on the wall. I'm not creative enough to find a way to display this in a neat way. So going to space doesn't add a lot of value to anything to me. I don't know. You?
I guess I wouldn't notice the beer so much. I don't know. Like, maybe I would, there's something I'd want to see. Like if somebody made, you know, if they would make popcorn in space or something like that, I would want to see flying around the thing. But I don't know. The only thing that I've ever really cherished, like a thing, was I got a tour of a movie theater once, the room where they project the movies, and they had just shown my favorite movie, which was Mad Max at the time.
Cool.
And I found some clips of the movie on the floor that they had cut to splice the reels together.
Cool.
And I was just so thrilled to have these actual pieces of the film, which was probably a copy of a copy of a copy.
Yeah,
of
sure,
it. But,
sure.
But I don't know. Beer in space? I don't know. I don't know.
I want the weightlessness. That's what I want. I want the experience. I'm an experience person for sure. Shout out to my wife for making me more appreciative of that even. Like, I don't need the things as much as I want the memories. I want a picture from space. That's what I want. Like, I want...
Like a selfie?
Or even just like... If one of the astronauts brought up a great camera and took a picture of what the cosmos looked like and then printed it, it doesn't even have to have gone to space. It was just created in space. That would work for me just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like there's that famous Earthrise shot.
Yeah.
You know, that stuff is just incredible. But as far as like hops being up in space, yeah. I don't want to throw a wet blanket on it. I hope they raise $400 million, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And there are people who are, that'll motivate them to want to succeed even more, to get to space themselves or whatever. And that's great. And like, that would be the best vacation ever. Three days in space with some other stinky people. I mean, I'm all in. They took the Kings of Leon, released a new song, and they didn't play it for anybody. They sent it to space with the astronauts so they could hear it up there. And then they're selling it, I don't understand these yet, but it's an NFT where you can like buy the Kings of Leon song that went to space that they didn't release. And I don't know, even NFT is such a non-tangible thing for me that I can't understand why anyone would want any of that. But so are MP3s, I guess. So,
yeah, I guess so. I don't even know what an NFT is.
A non-fungible token is what it's called.
Oh, I see.
And so
it's like a security token or something.
Yeah, something like that. So like, let's say the guy who created the, one of them is the Nyan cat, the little flying Pop-Tart cat with a rainbow behind it on the internet. The guy who created that, or girl, I don't know who it was, they sold the idea of the original ones of those online, and someone bid, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to own the original Nyan cat. It doesn't, you don't get to do anything with it because it's all over the internet as a meme. So I just don't understand what the, like, you have to have absurd amounts of money to, for that to be able to be, like, go to space money, probably.
Right.
I don't know. It's, I've been thinking about it a lot. Like, I was like so pumped about it, and I saw my father-in-law, and he was like, I'm pretty lukewarm on the whole thing. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, we're just sending rich people to space. Who cares?
Right.
And I'm like, well, they're doing something good with it. He's like, yeah. So I think about that, and I'm like, well, that's pretty nice, but couldn't you do a fundraiser on Earth?
Yeah. I guess it just makes it something to talk about. It gives people something to talk about.
9 minutes of it here, dude, that we just did. So there we go.
Right. It filled up at this podcast.
So Microsoft did a bunch of research and found that since life for office workers shifted to work from home, that the work week has actually grown by about 10%. You spent a lot of time working from home. I spent a lot of time working from home. Did you find that that was the case?
Yeah, definitely. It definitely worked more from home. Because you can just jump on it at any moment. You know, every once in a while I'd get an email on the weekend and I'd just run out to the garage and do it on my, you know, little workstation. So that definitely happened for me, that I worked more. What I didn't do is work more on the big picture things, big picture projects. I feel like I get more off my checklist from home.
Yeah.
But do you find that to be true, that you can get through the tasks faster? But it's the big ideas of moving, you know, advancing larger ideas. Does that happen at home in between, like, you know, snack breaks? And
so I'm a great worker bee. And so it's ideal for me what you're saying, because checking stuff off of the list is great. And I leave big picture thinking to other people. And
right.
Then they say, here's the five things we need to do to advance that. I'm like, great, I'll do it. And then I do a great job banging that stuff out. And so for someone like me, this is ideal. To be, even if I have to work a little bit more, I can be in my underwear and do that or whatever and not have to drive in an hour and a half to and from every day. The amount of time that if my work day is 10% longer, but my commute is 100% less, like, it still offsets probably in my favor. And I also found that I don't waste all the time socializing with my coworkers that would get in the way. I could get my job done a lot faster. Or, you know, when you bang up against a brick wall and you're like, I can't get through this idea, I just go walk the dog.
Yeah.
Whereas before, I would just go sit in someone's office and BS or go get coffee or leave or something like that. Like, now it's like easier to get the brain distracted with something else. That could be a double-edged sword. On a Friday, I'm like, I don't really feel like finishing anything, so I'm just going to leave and go to a movie. That was problematic, probably. But,
right. Yeah. But you could always step in on Sunday and finish it. I mean, yeah, you definitely get a lot more done from home. I feel like I do.
Yeah.
I wonder what the general opinion of people listening to this podcast is. But yeah, I feel like you get a lot more done from home. And maybe the big picture stuff, maybe we were all so busy thinking about the pandemic and just like, when are we getting back in, that we all kind of slowed down on thinking about our next big initiative or our next big idea for a show or idea for an ad campaign or something. Like, you know, we were all just thinking about, you know, how can I get to the grocery store safely and back home, you know?
Exactly. I guess you're right. Yeah. It's the big picture wasn't something anyone was, I guess the people that are probably capitalizing on the pandemic are the ones that were thinking about the big picture, but they're probably the ones that are, the Jeff Bezos of the world is probably like
launching rockets into space with civilians.
Yeah, exactly. They might be the ones that are really benefiting, but yeah, I don't know. I miss the camaraderie of going somewhere and seeing people, and I miss the brainstorming that kind of happens, and I don't feel like it happens the same way over a Zoom call because of the natural social cues that happen and stuff. And, and plus just the being a jackass. Like, I've spent a lot of time in these studios just saying ridiculous, awful things and having a silly giggle fit over it that's, like, the best.
Yeah.
And my dog just looks at me like, I'm going to bite you, and I'm, like, no one there to talk to, and so it's just me being like, oh, I'm very funny.
Right. And you wouldn't have met Brandon.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So, or you, for that matter.
Right.
Okay, well, I guess I would trade that off. I guess if they asked me to work 10% more, or if I did 10% more work and I didn't have to commute, that'd be okay. I also don't have to pay the rent on a whole floor of downtown office building and be like, where are the employees? And like freak out about seeing those numbers every day and then not looking around and not seeing anyone in the building. So.
And it's pretty empty now. Like, you come in here and it's
weird. It's and even weird. On a work day, like, we're back in the studio and there's still no one around, really. I haven't seen anybody. So,
and we're all technically supposed to be here. Yeah. There's been a lot of turnover and a lot of,
weird. Anyway, so this is wild. I never considered this, but I guess Star Wars, A New Hope, the original in the series that made Death Star's worth of money in the last 44 years. Wow. It's been referenced so many times that you can actually clip together the whole film just in media references. That's thanks in part to the Family Guy doing those half-hour remakes of each film. So they could generously take from those to be able to make it all work out. But someone did the hard work on YouTube and whittled the whole thing down to just 18 minutes. We're talking about a two-hour film done in 20 minutes. That's like pretty crazy. And it loses some of the drama, but there might also be a lesson in there for George Lucas on editing and pacing. And I tried to show my wife all these movies, and she's like, these are so boring. And I'm like, you're right. Like, as a kid, there was magic. And even, like, the lingering, a lightsaber would be the best, or force pushing someone from across the room or choking him to death or whatever it is. That would still be awesome. But the notion that it's, like, the way that we make films is so different now, and it's so action-packed, and, like, that slow, boring pacing just doesn't work at all. But it is amazing that something has been referenced so many times that they can remake it without using any of the original parts.
That is amazing. That movie is amazing. How it's woven itself into our everyday.
Can you think of anything else that is like that present? Because things, I'll step on my question, things come and go so fast. Everyone talked about Game of Thrones forever, and then that ended, and now nobody talks about Game of Thrones. It comes up once in a while, but like, what has that kind of lasting power that Star Wars has?
It's almost like religion or something, you know, Star Wars. It's something that, you know, I'm sure there's a Star Wars religion that I don't know about. Is there?
Sure, I'm sure there's people that are actually Jedi because technically my buddy got me ordained to do his wedding. And part of that, you could pay $8 to become an official Jedi. And so he paid the $8 as a joke. And I opened it up and I was like, well, I'm officially a Jedi, I guess.
So. For $8. Do you have a card or something?
Yeah, I think I do actually have a card.
No.
I should look more into that.
Wow. The reason it reminded me of religion is because I looked at this guy. Did you watch the 16-minute edit?
I did. I watched the first 7 or 9 minutes or something.
I did too, because you sent me the link. And I was like, oh, check this out. It was actually pretty good. That was, by the way, that was definitely a pandemic project. Like, can you see this guy? This guy editing that, taking all the time to put that together. But so I looked at this guy's other, I clicked on the guy's name and looked at his other videos.
Yeah.
And they're all, do you know what they all, did you click on it?
No, I don't do any actual follow through.
So the guy's videos are all debunking religion.
Oh, what?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about religion, but so his other big passion is debunking religion. And so it just struck me as kind of funny that here's this guy who's such a believer in Star Wars and you know, something that isn't you know,
cookie old religion is what they call it in there or something like that. They're like, they're talking about Ben Kenobi and they're like, oh, that old wizard or whatever, that kooky old religion of a time past or something like that. There's like a whole reference to that in Star Wars about the Jedi being a religion.
Oh,
like,
really?
About that's like dated and dumb or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. It strikes me as like this dichotomy of this guy who spends the rest of his time debunking things that you have to have faith to believe in. And then
I'm with you about not getting into the religion aspect of it. But like, if we've learned anything from COVID, it's that you're not going to talk someone, or like even the last 5 years, you're not going to be like one side or the other. We're going to talk you into coming to our side. Yeah. You're making all these debunking videos. Like no one's, you're not going to change any minds. Like you're only like furthering the divide by like solidifying people who are against it together. That's just a...
Yeah, and people are willing to put their lives down, yeah, you know, on the line.
It's something that you can't see or prove. Like it's like, dude, this is... I commend you for being so dedicated to something, but also, that's crazy. Stick to Star Wars.
Yeah, Star Wars.
So TikTok parent company ByteDance has added a usage time limit. This is kind of a growing trend. Usage time limit for kids in China, keeping their scrolling to just minutes per day. Now, something tells me you're not on TikTok, Kanan.
I am not on TikTok. I've seen it.
It is poison. Honestly, it is amazing.
It is like junk food. It's junk food.
It's social media junk food, and it all depends on how you use it. Like all the other social media or YouTube or anything like that. If you're a kook looking for kooky things, you can find it. But if you are into lawn care, which I am not, but I evidently am because it keeps showing me people mowing their lawns and I'm like, this is so awesome. If you're into that, you can get into people having skills doing things and just it's magic to see how amazing humans are at things or how bad they are at things. Right. And it's like so fun to watch people create and make. Now, also, there's like a huge gross element of politics and everything else in there that gets people just arguing with each other that makes like a place like Twitter terrible. But just serving you these things in these small doses, it's dangerous because...
Especially a guy like you, like a short attention, kind of like...
The whole nature of everything I do in my whole life is that. I'm like, come on, keep it coming. Keep
15
it coming.
Seconds. Yeah. Like,
and so that's my whole, like, it's my whole professional life at least, you know? But it's... TikTok is really sad also.
Yeah.
Because like I'm a big crusader against emojis. And
oh really?
They're fine.
Emoji assassin.
Yeah, I like the emoji just fine. I get it. But you watch it whittle down our highly developed language into something that is you're taking like language is already trying to take parts of things that we both can commonly understand. If you see a bee and I say it's yellow, you understand what yellow means because we have shared references.
Right.
And so the more you boil that down into like stamp, like the less of the nuance you get in language. And to me, that's the really beautiful part of communication is how we can do that. And so if you just have 11 emojis to communicate a point, you've lost a paragraph's worth of communication.
Right.
And sometimes beautiful it does. Prose. Sometimes it can make it more efficient. You can Hemingway it and like get down to like the shorter sentences and simpler to understand and get points across elegantly. There's a skill to it. But for the most part, it limits our language by reducing it down to something simple. That is what TikTok is doing. Like, I'm going to teach you how to build a bridge in 3 minutes.
Right.
And there's like, or even if it's like a four part, going to teach you, that's 12 minutes to... There's no way you can possibly learn or have the same type of quality, but you can be easily mosquitoed into the bug light of like, wow, I could do that. Or like it's very attractive in a very quick way.
Yes. It's like those house flipper shows.
Yeah.
It's like when they show you the before and then there's this wipe across the screen and suddenly the counters are all done. Everything's painted.
Yeah.
I'm painting my kitchen cabinets and I just looked at the receipt on the cabinet doors and it was April when I got them. Like I'm still working on it. And I think about those remodel shows where they just do the wipe and it's all like ding. And my kids look at these and they, you know, I just feel like telling them it's not like that. It takes either 100 people to do that remodel or it takes months, you know.
Especially by yourself if you're just trying to tackle it on your own.
It's and you watch those little short videos on TikTok or wherever you see them and you feel like you're doing stuff, which is kind of dangerous. Like you feel like you actually know how to do it until you try to drive a screw in straight.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like or just paint a cabinet door, you know?
So I'm guilty of this pandemic. That was one of the things I did. I bought some tools and I started woodworking and I built a bed for my three-year-old because it was like, I just want to try it. It's something to do. He won't know. He doesn't care if I don't do it right or it doesn't look great. It came out fine and I was proud of it and happy. Okay, great. And then I built this bench and I tried to like do something a little bit more ambitious. I found a guy, I forget his name, on YouTube and he sold me his plan for $5 and then he didn't do a very good job of... There's a lot of angles. It looks very modern and stuff, but he didn't do a very good job of transposing it. And so, like, I spent 3 months building a freaking bench. It took forever. Like, one of my wife was working from home. One of her clients would be on with her every week, Tuesday at 4 or whatever. And in the background, he'd hear, and finally, after months, he was like, when is he going to be done with that? And I was like, it is hard. And then I showed it to him, and he was like, oh, damn, that's actually pretty nice that you did that. I was like, yeah, but it like, cost me $9,000 to do it and, right. like, all of my life. And then, like, we painted it. The paint job looks like garbage. And then I, like, put it out in the backyard. And I'm like, well, never going to use that. And it's, like, over.
and then you get a flyer from you know, the big box store the next week, and it's, like, $45.
Yeah, and I'm like,
you could
have
bought that bench.
Yeah, cool. I'm glad that I wasted everyone's time and made everyone mad doing this. My neighbors hate me. My garage is totally covered in sawdust, like, completely. Every surface is covered. You know, TikTok can convince you, like, oh, this guy, I watched a thing, and then I, like, found his YouTube, and the YouTube video is 11 minutes long, and I'm like, okay, I must have watched it 7,100 times to, like, watch it. Like, what's the angle on that? I'm like, what? How does this even work? And then finally, at some point, I was just like, screw, like, I'm just getting this done. I don't even care anymore.
Just attach it,
Yeah, and it looks nice or whatever, but, like, the effort that I put into it up front, I needed to use that on the finishing. I needed it to be like, you like get so frustrated at some point that I'm like, okay, I'm done with this. I hate this. Move on. So I can't wait to look. I can't wait to look in the online to find someone with a truck to come pick up my bench and take it to the dump for me in a couple of years. But it's. But it'll be my pandemic project. So, hey, I still want people to be thinking about, in case you missed it earlier, I want two foods that you think are awesome that you can combine into something that is awful, because it's like the pineapple pizza, right? People love, or if you hate pineapple and pizza, you might love pineapple and love pizza, but you don't want those two things together. I've got something for that. All right, this week in Why We're All Effed. Oh boy, this one is depressing. There's a website, I gotta look it up here, beforetheflood.com, where some programmer overlaid Google Maps with the projections of what will likely happen as temperatures increase and sea levels rise. If you live in a coastal community, say like we both do, how quickly should we sell our homes or develop gills? One of those two things. And I don't know how fast the temperature change is likely to happen. On this website, beforetheflood.com, they suggest that by 2100, the Earth's temperature will have raised by 4 degrees Celsius, so about 10 degrees Fahrenheit. And that the associated, this is where it gets interesting, because you can like look up what they think the sea level rise will be proportionate to that thing. And so and this one, I'll scoot over here, and this website, like, it's like, it's significant. If we go up by four degrees, the sea level will rise by 29 feet, they predict, which is a lot.
Whoa. And then what's left, like Kansas?
So it's interesting. I looked it up, and you live on one of the islands nearby here.
Yeah.
And you are 0% affected. Like, just like, they might have to bring the water taxi dock a little bit closer or something like that. That might have to be coming, because it is just the little bit around the edge of that island that gets absorbed. But if you live in Belltown in downtown Seattle, game over, man. It is. You are underwater. Like, the Seahawks will have to become the Dolphins, because they will be playing. VMAC will be literally underwater there on Lake Washington. Lake Washington will extend way down to, like, Federal Way because of how it sweeps all of the lowland Renton out of the... It'll all be water.
All this stuff was supposed to happen, like, you know, centuries from now. Growing up, you'd hear about disaster, you know, scenarios, and they'd be like, yeah, but, Mount Rainier is 500 million years overdue for an eruption, but, you know, it's okay.
if it's off by another 1%, 10%, that's 10,000 years. So whatever, you're fine.
I'll be dead by then. But why are they? Why is everything happening now? Like pandemic. There's another one on the way. They say there's another pandemic on the way. There's always another pandemic on the way.
Sure.
But then the flooding and the, why did it all have to happen now?
I think it's because we have satellites and we understand how things are happening. Before we were just ignorant. There was, you know, ignorance is bliss. We were just either we were ignoring it, literally ignorant, or we just didn't know any better. And so as it happened, so what?
Yeah,
we'll
maybe
be fine.
That's it. Maybe we have so much information that we're no longer the frogs in the boiling water. We have a satellite flying over the boiling pot saying it's really boiling.
It's boiling. Yeah. And so I don't know if maybe some of these problems existed before and we didn't understand it, and now we do because we have more information to freak out about. But also maybe nothing will come of it, or maybe it is the natural curve and we don't know it. Like, they could, scientists who study this obviously can prove that it's accelerating, and they can use math and complicated stuff that I don't understand to make me look stupid. But also at the same time, like, that could have somewhat existed before we just had the data to process it. Or maybe it's all accelerating and we're totally effed. That's the point.
That's the feature.
But there's also always something positive out there to balance it out. And that comes in the form of cow crappers. Turns out that our love of beef, everything, all the time, has a pretty big impact on the environment. And I follow an Oregon rancher guy on TikTok. He always sets me straight about how, not me specifically, but us straight about how ranching is supposed to happen. And eating beef is not the problem. It's eating beef that gets the nail gun to the head inside the big cow factory or whatever. But anyway, if it's done responsibly, we can still eat beef. That's fine. But one way to offset cow damage is by training them to use a cow toilet. Somebody invented the Moo Loo, which, oh my God, a good pun, but also, come on. It's helping contain cow waste, and cows are highly trainable. I guess they're pretty smart and affectionate creatures, like most creatures, I think, out there. Cows can be like, if I can play a trombone and all the cows come running to me, like I've seen on the internet a million times, like,
right,
there's something there. They're like aware enough that if you could teach them to pee in a cow loo, in the moo loo, then
So is it the gases that come off from them pooping that causes the damage? It's all the methane.
I always thought it was from the chewing and burping. I thought cow burps were a problem also. Oh. But also, I guess, I mean, an animal that big, you imagine how much pee that is?
Yeah, it's got to be a lot of pee.
And that's got to be tough on like a small area that you keep them confined on. It's got to be just even the minerals and stuff, and it's got to be bad for the environment. But then, yeah, the poops must be bad. I don't exactly understand what the cow exhaust system is. Do we need a cowlytic converter? I'm sorry.
That's bad. I actually have some science. I actually have some science background here because I started my education as an agricultural engineer.
What?
I dropped out of that really quickly, but because it was really hard. But I, yeah, and the first project, probably the project that turned me off of it, was the first project I had to do was design a barn with enough ventilation, with the proper ventilation to release the methane, because the barns have to have ventilation, otherwise they will turn into a methane bomb and explode.
Oh, like
barns, that's how you get the classic, the barn's on fire,
They're like spontaneous combustion. You're like, nah, that's just a bunch of cows tooting in a big room.
Right, and it turns into this explosive, literally, situation. It must be the gas that they just emit constantly throughout the day. It's the pooping, it's the farting and all that.
Yeah. I can imagine then you have to have a system for the moo loo must collect the stuff and then process it pretty quickly, because otherwise you're just sitting on a tank. Maybe that's how we go to space next. Collect that methane.
Harness that
fuel
somehow. Yeah. What are they doing with all that gas that they collect? Are they burning it off? Does it turn into this like...
It's problematic, because that's part of what I think that's the scary part of climate change, is that methane is going to be the real killer in the future as things start to unlock from frozen, I don't know what you call it, from frozen deposits and stuff. When we get to the methane, it's going to accelerate the global warming even faster than carbon dioxide does. And
sure.
So, I mean, I feel like probably eating less beef is the answer.
Probably. I mean, I went to Costa Rica a few years ago, and the thing I was most impressed with was this one student that we met, who he had switched from beef to crickets. And he had a cricket farm.
Huh. I did not see that coming.
He had a cricket farm the size of a kitchen cabinet and could feed himself enough protein from that forever for free.
Oh, my God.
And they keep reproducing, and you just dry them out, grind them up, and it's like protein powder.
I just can't get over, like, I get beard hairs in my teeth. I wear Invisalign right now, and I have a beard hair in there. I'd be like, oh, gross. I can't imagine if I went to get that and it was a leg.
I know. Have you ever eaten a cricket?
No.
I haven't eaten a cricket either, but it made me kind of want to try it.
My buddy, when the Mariners did that a few years ago, they did you could get the chili crickets, and it was like a full... It's not like it's ground up and then sprinkled on french fries or whatever.
It was like a thing with
legs and
eyes. It's
like, you're like, I'm eating a bug.
You didn't try it?
No. Dude, I'll eat a hot dog, which is like the grossest thing you can do. I think it's just full of just garbage animal
parts. That's what they
need
to do with the crickets is get them into the hot dogs.
Yeah, cricket hot dogs.
Yeah, right. Cricket dog.
Speaking of two foods one food at least that people might like. It's our question of the week, going back to the top of the show here. If you could pick two awesome food products and combine them to make something awful, what would you pick? Well, I've come across a celebratory thing, a staple of youth, cup noodle, which until I read the story, I literally always thought it was called cup of noodle.
Yeah,
a cup of noodle or something like that. Yeah. I guess it's called cup noodle. They are turning 50 years old, so congratulations on making dehydrated food that is still around like that. That's great. You and the Twinkie are celebrating something. They're celebrating with four ramen-flavored sodas. And, like, I always had to take these, like, hard stances of, like, gross, no. And then usually if someone serves it to me, I see the error in my ways. I can't think of two things that are, like, where you, like, cheese and something else where you're like, that sounds gross, but you're like, oh, but I like cheesecake, and so sweet cheese maybe is okay, I can see that. And then I'm like, oh, I was such a fool, and then I can eat a bunch of it, right? But I have a really hard time with cup noodle. There's a cup noodle flavor of soda, and so that's like, what, salty chicken flavor?
Oof.
I can't imagine that being any good. There's a curry flavor. Man, the smell of curry does things to me. I love it.
Yeah.
Like, curry goes wafting by, and I'm like, whatever that is, I want that. Right. It is a powerful... Never ate it as a kid. My family never did any of that, any of the curry places. We were probably very racist or something. But we never did any of the curry dishes. And then now I smell like a walking by Annapurna on Broadway. And I like have to stop sometimes because I'm like, this is too... I can't just go by. I hope they're still open after the pandemic. That's great. So, yeah. But curry as a soda? There's got to be something I'm missing here.
I guess it depends on what they do with the other ingredients of soda. Like if they adjust the sugar, maybe you have to change your expectation of soda. Like I feel like now everybody's consuming these sparkling waters.
Oh, nonstop, all the time.
Very flavored.
I've got two in the car. Yeah, for real.
Yeah, I do too. You know, I could go through a six pack of that in 10 minutes. And maybe if they adjusted the other ingredients of the soda, maybe if it didn't have so much sugar and it was just a completely different animal, maybe it'd be okay.
I got to draw the line, though, because I hear you and I'm trying to wrap my head around how it could be
like
served
curry up.
Like, do you have it when you're eating? Like,
that's
I'm having
quick,
some
big question.
Like, I'm having some chips, like salty chips, and I'm going to have this curry soda. I still can't get there. But it's the fact that there's a seafood flavor. Like, what are you doing?
I don't know. Yeah, that's gross.
They expect someone to drink a seafood flavored soda? Like, can you imagine the first burp that you had after that? Like, ugh.
Oh. Yeah.
Is there any world where you can imagine a seafood flavored soda being agreeable?
What's the closest thing to that? I guess they have like those shrimp chips.
Yeah. Oh, man. That came up just recently. Shrimp chips.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I was just talking to someone about that. Oh, she can't eat popcorn, so she was stopping before a movie to get shrimp chips.
I'm like, again. I do not want to sit next to her.
Yeah, again. Like, wash it down with your curry soda. Like,
yeah. Seafood. I don't know. There's something about seafood that's delicious and something about seafood that's, like, dangerous.
So what if it was a, like... I don't know. What if they did it in cup noodle chips to steal from what you were just saying?
Like, noodle chips.
What if there was like a ramen chip that you could have, like pair up with Lay's and release a, or
that's an idea. That's big. That's big picture thinking that happened in this pandemic. Look at you go.
Welcome back to the studio. Yeah, we're now in big picture thinking.
That's big picture thinking. Ramen chips. You should call them today. That should be that. They should be selling that because that I can see.
Cup noodle. Even if it was the seafood flavor, people would eat that. I think the shrimp chip.
Yeah,
of the cup noodle world.
Chips. Yeah,
and the curry one. Like I've never had. You ever had those Canadian? They have a Canadian flavor of chips, and I don't remember what it's called. There's like it's very specific. It's like a really tangy ketchup flavor chip that they have.
Really?
Yeah, that they don't. It's just, you know, it's just one of those weird things that doesn't cross the border somehow.
Oh,
like
yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. I've never had it. I had like in Europe, in Holland, they have like you eat.
Go on.
What?
I said go on. You have my attention.
You eat French fries with mayonnaise, and I used to love that.
Yeah, even in same thing in we went to what is it Wisconsin and they did that there too.
Do they do that?
Yeah, it was like at the places we were going to, you'd get mayonnaise with the.
But it's a more, I think it's a more vinegary mayonnaise than mayonnaise. It's not like, you know, bologna sandwich mayonnaise.
So they're called all dressed ketchup chips, and Ruffles makes them.
Oh,
and they're spicier, like not like. There's more spices, not spicier like jalapeno, but there's just like more flavors, and ketchup is kind of the base. And it's real weird. And I would eat it right. I haven't eaten breakfast, so I could definitely eat it right now. I might have to go do that.
Go get some ketchup chips.
Okay, I'm gonna put you on the spot, Kanan, because I'm terrible at this segment of the show. It's when we try and wrap things up by figuring out what did we learn today. Because this is a very heady show, and so we have to go back and see what the dumb things that we talked about are. What did you learn today?
I think I learned not to fear the space thing, not to fear civilians in space. Yeah. I felt depressed at first about it, but you know, you talked about the medical advancements, and there could potentially be great things that come out of that, out of more civilians in space, more people, more dummies like you and me, maybe just like me. I should
no, please. I ran a show forever called Our Dumb Podcast, and I called myself a dummy. I'm fair game.
Yeah, but I mean, you get more civilians in there in space. Maybe better things will come of it than just the you know, NASA astronauts.
I learned that I'm not alone when it comes to thinking that I might have worked more from home, but that I didn't mind it because it was better for me. Like in terms of like I have better mental health if that's possible during COVID because I can get out and go for a walk or listen to the birds. Or, did you do any birding during the pandemic?
I didn't do any birding. No,
I got real into it. My dad was real into birds when I was a kid. My grandfather, and so like when we go out on these long walks because there's nothing to do, I'd be like super into the birds. I know about like blue jays and stuff now. It's pretty weird.
What's the bird that nests on the ground?
Yeah.
Is that a blue
owl?
Oh no. Well, I guess there are some owls.
Yeah,
do, right?
Yeah.
That's amazing. We ran into a nest on the ground and it freaked me out. I was like, let's put it back in the tree. Let's do that. And then a friend of mine, a neighbor who's a birder, said, no, don't touch it. They're fine.
Oh wow, there's a list of common. No, I don't want bird feeders. I do like that dark-eyed junco though. That's my favorite little neighborhood bird that I see all the time.
I think they might be the ones who nest on the ground. I don't know.
I would love that. They're so cool, and they have a beautiful song, and they're all over my neighborhood. The common finch is another one. It's red, and it's beautiful. We're just talking about bird talk. Yeah. Anyway, okay. What else? You learn anything else today?
What else? Well, a little bit about methane, I guess.
I learned that from you. Thank you. That's amazing.
I just get this image in my mind of like one of the cows taking way too long in the crapper, and, you know, and the others waiting out, you know, looking at their hooves.
I would come out, but my legs are asleep.
Yeah, exactly. What kind of magazines do you leave in the cow crapper for the cows?
Very big ones. They don't have thumbs, I guess. Because a TV is for the cow.
Right. A TV. Yeah, they don't have thumbs.
Would a cow watch TV?
Maybe.
This is the science we need to conduct.
Yeah.
I'll get back to you next time with more, okay?
And what shows would lead to more milk? I don't know.
Now you're thinking.
Or better beef.
Look at you. You're like really big picture.
Yeah.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!
Well, Kanan, thanks for joining us today. We do this every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and join us next time. I think Brandon's back next week. Thanks a lot.
Loads of fun. Thank you.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.